Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome to Taking Stock. You're watching Vox Markets. Quite a busy day of updates, unusually for a Friday. Feels like we've got a little bit more than usual. So we're going to take a look at the Darktrace takeover news. We've got Record. We've got Carnival Cruise, Loungers, Brickability, Senior, Truvision, maybe a few more. Lemon Physical in the live chat is asking about facilities by ADF. We may get around to that one, although I can't promise that we will. Fairly busy Friday. As always, please do subscribe if you're new. Please press the like button. It helps us out a lot in here at Vox. And if you caught my chat with Paul Hill this morning on his show, I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't seen it yet, myself and Paul had a nice chat covering some sort of big picture stuff, the stuff we find most interesting, taking a step back. So let's hop into the show. I will hit this screen share button, and you can see that my chat with Paul Hill is here on the Vox homepage. So do check that out. He's got plenty of insights, Paul, so that we had a good back and forth. It wasn't just himself asking me questions. I was asking him questions too, and trying to learn from all of his work, all of the research that he does. So plenty covered in there this morning. So it's been a busy morning for me on two different shows. All right, so let's go to this Darktrace thing. Hello to Peter in the live chat. You're very welcome. Whether you're watching on the live chat or on the replay, you're equally welcome. And thank you for all the comments. So Darktrace, a world-leading provider of AI for enterprise with first at-scale deployment of AI in cybersecurity. I did attempt to study this company previously, but I did find it quite difficult. But anyway, it's probably going to leave us before too long if this acquisition gets over the line. A recommended acquisition of Darktrace for $7.75 in cash, which they say is about 620p. So the share price is up about 17% to 607p, which sort of implies that it probably will go ahead. You would think if the market is pricing in, I guess it's only 2% away from the takeover price. That sort of suggests that the takeover will go ahead. And at this point, it sort of becomes like a fixed income instrument where you're just waiting to get paid a fixed amount. Matt is also joining us in the comments. Darktrace, yet another tech firm succumbing to US private equity. Do I take it that there has been not been a big take up yet? Yeah, we'll hopefully get into that now. The company says that it's a 44% premium to the VWAP over 3 months. Like, a lot of people don't really care about the 3 month VWAP, I don't think. People really care about the price compared to the closing the previous day. So a lot of people will look at that 20% number and probably say it's not that much. It is, however, a 148% premium to the IPO price on the 30th of April 2021, suggesting that this has been a successful IPO from 2021. And it's not very often we've been able to say that. The buyer, I understand, is a US software private equity company. So that sort of makes sense. Background to and reasons for the acquisition. Well, it's cybersecurity. It's a growth area. They want to invest in it. They say it's a global leader in cybersecurity AI. You know, it's been very difficult to study this company for the likes of me, who's not really, you know, I haven't got the expertise in technology to make sense of what Darktrace does. But Tama Bravo is clearly impressed. And they say that private ownership can facilitate its development. And they have a long track record of providing capital and strategic support to experienced management teams, growing software and technology companies, and creating highly skilled jobs. So I guess we may see the end of Darktrace before too long. Irrevocable Undertakings. We've got the directors with 3%. We've got certain other shareholders representing 11%. So that's KKR. I think KKR were selling down their other shares. I think they've already been selling down their shares not that long ago. So it wouldn't be a surprise to see that they're happy to sell out completely. And with 11%, that's still quite a lot more support needed. Total support, it being 14.4%. So still quite a lot of support needed to get this over the line. But based on the share price and, you know, my sense of what's happening here is that Darktrace is going to leave us most likely. Big company, you can see 4.2 billion market cap. The valuation here was difficult for somebody like myself who does try to look out for value. The valuation here didn't really make sense. Just looking at Stockopedia, it was at 35 times earnings. Okay, and the earnings were very difficult to predict. Kind of just moved around a lot in the last year or two. So a difficult one for value investors. So maybe if US software private equity wants to take over, I guess they're going to get their wish. So that is Darktrace, the latest company that is probably going to leave us. Now we've got a fair few things we can look at next. Will we we'll quickly do loungers then? LGRS. So this is a cafe, bar, and restaurants across England and Wales. Market cap 245 million. Check out this trading update. Seems reasonably positive. We've got like for like revenue growth of 7.5%. And then if you add in store openings, you get 22% revenue growth. There's also a benefit from having an extra week in the financial year, so that's artificial. You include that, you get nearly 25% revenue growth. And they say we've got something about EBITDA here. EBITDA to be ahead of market expectations. An excellent update, must be said, from Loungers. What's the market cap here? Oh, yeah, 245, and they're up 2% today. I will note they have a little bit of net debt, which I don't think is material, £10 million, so that's fine. I checked their most recent financial statements. If you include property leases, they have net debt of £140 million. So given there's a lot of property leverage involved here, I would not want to see any meaningful amount of financial debt on top of that. I think that would be very dangerous. So, I mean, my preference is to find companies like this which actually own their properties, because then you can get a real value investment. When you find these companies with big leases, well, I think you just have to be a lot more careful, and you especially have to avoid those which have financial debt, in my opinion, because then the financial risk can get totally out of control before too long. And we've seen that many times before. The Loungers CEO says he's delighted with the performance over the year. We have consistently outperformed the sector whilst having delivered a record 36 new site openings. So, you know, it's a casual chain, and it's doing perfectly reasonably there in terms of today's update. So I'm happy to move on from that, but a bit of good news for Loungers. Where will we go next? Let's do Brickability, BRCK. We have been talking about bricks a little bit recently. These shares are down by 3%. Market cap, 211 million. You know, I had an interesting chat with Paul Hill this morning, as I was telling you about, and he had a view on the bricks, which, you know, was helpful for me. You know, he was pointing out that the bricks get to the construction sites quite late in the process. You know, you've got all sorts of designers, you've got people, you know, working on the land and the foundations first, and then eventually you get the bricks and all the equipment coming in. So some interesting points he made, which, you know, made me think that perhaps we can be a little bit more relaxed about the brick companies doing poorly, because maybe you know, they are on a sort of a lag compared to other companies involved in the building trade. So you can see that Brickability, while performance is in line with expectations, they say that there is still lower levels of demand in bricks and associated building products in the first 9 months of the year. So they're talking about financial year to March 24. So the first 3 months of 2024, still quite poor, but hopefully we'll start seeing some improvement as the year goes along. Full year adjusted EBITDA expected at least 44.8 million in line with guidance. And that leverage multiple, I would say, is perfectly reasonable, 1.25 times following acquisitions. So no concerns from me there at this point. Of course, things can change, but that's happy with that for now. And they say the board believes that with leading positions across a diverse portfolio offering, the group enters the new financial year well positioned to benefit materially from a recovery in its end markets. So maybe towards, you know, it might take another 6 months, but maybe towards the end of this calendar year, we'll start to see Brickability doing a bit better, but things still pretty tough for them. Let me just pull up some financial metrics on them just to remind myself. Yeah, so this company, listed before COVID, shares are currently trading at about 7 times earnings, apparently. So Definitely worth worth keeping an eye on at that sort of value level. Some people really love this brick sector. Anyway, that's Brickability. Cross that off the list now. All right, let's do a really big company, and we can come back to the small companies shortly afterwards. But just wanted to mention Carnival, the the cruise lines. Just wanted to mention the fact that they've managed to borrow money at 5.75%. Now, some people might not think that's earth-shattering news, but and I know this is a big, respectable company, but 5.75% borrowing for 6 years until 2030 seems to me that there's still plenty of interest in for lenders and bond investors to finance these slightly riskier companies. You know, a lot of the companies that I look at, sort of mid caps, which have a lot of risk attached to them, are borrowing 10% at 10% plus. You know, not, you know, it's perfectly normal to see companies borrowing at 10-12% these days. So I think that's pretty impressive, 5.75% and refinancing notes that were due in 2026. So just wanted to mention that in passing, a good news story and a sign that interest rates are under control in the credit market, with a very reasonable rate being charged to Carnival. Okay, that's that one. On the buyback topic, I had a lot to say with Paul Hill about buybacks this morning. I was making the argument that I wanted to see British American Tobacco, which I own shares in, get a buyback done, get a buyback started urgently. I know they almost certainly won't do it, but that's what I want. Anyway, we've got Sainsbury's here, and they announced a buyback program in February for £200 million, and that is now underway. So the market cap here for Sainsbury's, 6.2 billion, shares up 1.5% today. And here's the announcement. They've started their program. So the first tranche is for a maximum of £150 million. And the shares that are being repurchased will be cancelled. You know, sometimes you get a conspiracy theory that if a company isn't canceling its buyback shares, that it might sell them to the market in the future, which is possible. But, you know, in general, it's not not a thing. Yeah, good news here for people who want to see these companies buying back their shares. £200 million. Sainsbury's trading at an earnings multiple of 11 times. So hopefully that is going to prove to be a decent value. I've got a question from El Saint. What do I think of the buyback at Nextech? I'm not sure if I've covered Nextech before. I suppose I can just quickly pull up the ticker here. Nextech. Market cap £100 million, so it's quicksand, and they had an announcement of a share buyback yesterday afternoon for up to £1 million, with the principal intention being to provide short-term liquidity for the group's shares in circumstances where otherwise this is lacking. Now that is that is strange to me, because when a company buys back its shares, that's reducing the free float. So long term, it's bad for liquidity to buy back shares. You know, the opposite of a buyback is to sell shares, and selling shares is good for liquidity. So Yeah, I look, this is the first time I've read this RNS, and I think it's that does strike me as a little strange, but feel free to let me know what you think. They say it's for £1 million, which is only 1% of the market cap, so that's not going to materially change earnings per share in the future, so it doesn't really do much for shareholders from that point of view. So yeah, that strikes me as a bit of a strange one. I'm not really sure what the if that's going to really achieve anything, but feel free to fill me in on that one. So that's Nextech. Where will we go next? Let's do Record. Record being an old favorite of mine. Shares are up 1%. We've just seen the share price change. This company, its main business is Record Currency Management, founded by Neil Record. They've got a really nice niche in what they do, helping companies to manage their currency exposures and providing also not just hedging products, but also trying to generate an active return from currencies as well. So this Q4 trading update came out from Record. You can see we've got a 17% increase in assets under management equivalent to $102 billion. We've got net inflows of nearly $7 billion. And we've got a pretty decent level of performance fees, £6 million almost. So the market cap here being $123 million. This one does have a history of trading quite cheaply. I am a former shareholder in this one. Share price has been a little weak over the past year, but pays a yield of 8% currently. So chief executive, so this is a new chief executive, obviously very happy with that 17% increase in AUM. And okay, nothing too earth-shattering in here, I don't think. But you can see the AUM is growing slightly over the last 3 months. So from what I understand about how Record works, the passive hedging is very low margin. So that's sort of the main difficulty that they have, is attracting clients to the more profitable categories. So dynamic hedging, currency for return. I think the fees earned here are significantly larger than the passive hedging product. So that's the difficult bit. In terms of the net AUME movement, we've got slightly negative flows over the last 3 months, but I wouldn't read too much into a three-month performance. Fee rates remained broadly unchanged. A little bit to get in there for Record shareholders and prospective shareholders. Seems like things are going reasonably well there. And I would describe myself as a fan of this business, a former shareholder, and I've followed it for a good few years. And I think there's a lot to say that's positive about it. They've always had a very strong balance sheet. They've made a profit every year for as long as I know, generating good returns on equity and returns on capital as they do that, and paying out dividends to shareholders. So I can't criticize this company, except from the point of view that growth has been, a bit staggered, usually quite slow on the growth front. But a fine company, that one, a very fine company. So that's Record. We'll hop into Thruvision now. So this is a security screening company. market cap is only £28 million. I had a look at their historic financials before this broadcast, and I saw that unfortunately there isn't much sign of profitability here. They've been around a while, so any signs of any improvement on that front? Well, we have a year-end trading update, and unfortunately, it looks like they're heading for an adjusted EBITDA loss. As I was saying to Paul Hill this morning, I am very forgiving for companies that make a loss, but to make a loss at the adjusted EBITDA level, I think that is a serious problem to make a loss at the adjusted EBITDA level. It puts the company into a higher risk category for sure. Also, revenue went backwards by quite a long way, which they said was due to the US Customs and Border Protection giving them fewer orders. And then they do something which I really hate to see, if I'm honest, where they adjust for the impact of that customer. And they say, they don't use the word underlying, but they're basically saying that underlying revenue growth was 85% despite actual revenue falling from 12 to 8 million. So not great news here from TrueVision. And even if we put the best possible spin on this, at the end of the day, they're highly vulnerable to orders from one particular customer. The CEO says, he's kind of sees that, well, there was very strong revenue growth from other customers, but he says that they have an expectation that they will reach profitability in the short term. Unfortunately, this one for me is not ticking enough boxes. I hope they do prove doubters wrong and do reach profitability, but not something that I would be betting on personally. So that's TrueVision. Okay. So hopping around a little bit more, we'll do Senior. This is a very reputable company, 690 million market cap. I always think of it as a defense stock, but they are big in commercial aerospace, not just defense. And this trading update's in line, outlook unchanged. So I won't spend too much time on this one, but this is a very decent company, in my opinion. And you can see they've got group revenue growing 7% year on year on a constant currency basis. Aerospace revenue up 12% year on year. They've got this division called Flexonics, which I had to remind myself what Flexonics is all about. It produces metallic composite and Teflon hoses, flex connectors, metal hoses, various other things. So just so you get the idea of the type of products that they are producing. But that's what Flexonics is. And there was good growth in downstream oil and gas and nuclear, with land vehicle sales remaining resilient. So Flexonics did see revenue fall 2% year on year, but that's just one division. Overall outlook is for good growth in line with expectations. And they talk about the 737 MAX. We have agreed sensible schedules with Boeing and other customers that take into account ongoing production demand and current customer inventory levels. We have mitigated the impact of lower 737 MAX production with growth in other business. So not too much to say about Senior today, an inline update, but I think it's a fine company and seems to be doing pretty well. Shares currently trading at 17 times earnings, and it pays a yield of 2%. So that's senior. Okay, let's do this chess company. CHSS is the ticker. Not sure if we have any chess fans in the audience. In chess, there are a few companies that really have the online playing pool tied up, I would say. There's two in particular, which I don't need to name, where most people, probably 99% of people, go to play online. World Chess PLC does have a place where people can play online, but it's very much, a different lower tier compared to the big ones. But they do have a relationship with the global chess organization, the sort of the FIFA equivalent, which does give them some business. So this company listed in April 2023. You can see they've got these tie-ups with FIDE. They've got this online arena, which is backed by FIDE. And I would love it if this company turned into a great investment. It would be great fun to invest in a chess company. But look at the outlook statement here. The impact of inflation and higher interest rates and resulting cost pressures have made it a difficult environment for the company to navigate. These economic challenges remain for the business in 2024. Cautiously optimistic of achieving revenue growth over the course of the year. So, like, in an environment where online chess is booming, I don't think I could have any, I don't think I could accept that inflation and interest rates were a factor, really, because online chess is absolutely booming. So, online chess companies should be booming. Now, this company it IPO'd last year in the midst of the chess boom. So I'm sure there were great projections involved here. You look at these numbers, we've got revenues of 2.3 million euros, which is less than the previous year. So this is for 2023. And you've got an operating loss of 4.2 million and a pre-tax loss of 4.7 million. So unfortunately, the loss here is actually twice as large as the revenues. So it's in a very, very, the kindest way to put it is that it's just in a very, very early stage of its development. So definitely a long way to go with this one. And still very, very early stage and definitely too risky for me. So that is World Chess. We've got a comment from Rifsafov in the comments. Years ago, an investor demonstrated Thruvision's scanner. It was very good, didn't invade privacy, and there's a clear need for it, but they still can't sell enough to be a good business. Well, thank you for that insight. And Peter in the comments says that watching online chess is great if you suffer from insomnia. Well, it sounds like you may not be a chess fan if that is the case. But I'm glad it has a use for you for you if you do suffer from insomnia. Okay, so that's World Chess. Unfortunately, very early stage, and the numbers remain very poor. Okay, now got plenty to look at. Still, we'll go to this Carclo, CAR, shares. Apparently up by 75%. Carclo. Yeah, even up by 80% over at Stockopedia. This is a technology-led plastics business with global integrated capabilities and operations. And, okay, so the news here, we've got a trading update. Let's hop in here, trading statement. So the group trading performance exceeded the board's previous expectations during the second half, showing improvement over the first half year performance. So I should point out, by the way, that the market cap here is only 9.5 million pounds. So that's why we have this sort of crazy percentage move, because when you have companies that are below 10 million pounds market cap, things can get a bit wild. So anyway, going back to the trading update, cash generation was stronger than the board's previous expectations. Closing cash position was 6 million with an undrawn facility of 3 million, giving total cash availability of 9 million. Group net debt was 30 million pounds. Okay, so three times the market cap. The group has achieved covenant compliance through FY24. So that's FY March 2024. So, yeah, we've got still a very large debt position there. In terms of the outlook, Carclough is optimally positioned to continue on its journey to deliver operational improvement, and they are doing a restructuring in the US. So I think this does require a bit of bravery. I wouldn't bet the house on this one. I mean, I wouldn't bet the house on any share, but with net debt of 30 million, market cap of 10, and historic performance is, up and down, big losses some years, decent profits in other years. This is about as risky as it gets, probably, but look, could be worth a small punt, perhaps, for some people, if they enjoy that, and if they believe in the recovery. Now let's go over to Anglo. I didn't cover this yesterday, but I just wanted to mention in passing, because it is such a big story. Have we got the 7 o'clock rejection of BHP proposal? So this is going to be very significant for the FTSE. So the proposal comprised an all-share offer for Anglo by BHP, with a requirement for Anglo to complete two separate demergers. The board has considered the proposal and concluded that it significantly undervalues Anglo and its future prospects. In addition, the proposal contemplates a structure which the board believes is highly unattractive for Anglo's shareholders, given the uncertainty and complexity inherent in the proposal and significant execution risks. So I just wanted to mention this in passing. It is significant news for the FTSE. And, this is one of just the biggest names out there. And that's the latest on it. I don't really bet on these sorts of events, but it's nice to just have some idea of what's happening at the biggest end of the market. So that's the news from Anglo as they reject BHP's offer or suggestion. Let's do a crypto company. See if I can get this ticker right. Okay. So Kasai Holdings, just a tiny little 4 million pound, tiny little crypto share. But I just wanted to mention what they're doing here, because I hadn't seen them before. And, I like to know what Argo Blockchain is doing. So Here's Kasai Digital Assets. So essentially what they provide is a portfolio in crypto. And it seems like they are managing this crypto portfolio quite actively. You can see they've got Bitcoin, Ethereum, and a wide range of other ones. They've got NAV of £3.7 million. So they're really subscale. I don't know if how sustainable it is to exist at this size. I presume that they will they have to grow NAV before too long, because you can't survive at this size, in my opinion. But there is some news in terms of ETFs and investment trusts that invest in Bitcoin. This Grayscale Bitcoin Investment Trust charged 1.5% to its investors. And after what looks like a deregulation in the United States, the new Bitcoin ETFs will charge a much lower fee. And I think that Grayscale themselves will launch a mini ETF, which is only going to charge 0.15%. So the fee to hold Bitcoin passively in an ETF will fall by possibly 10 times, from 1.5% to 0.15%. So that is good news for Bitcoin investors, a way to own Bitcoin without having to get involved in digital wallets or exchanges, like crypto exchanges. You can do it with a financial, sort of a mainstream financial instrument now, even easier than you could before. So I haven't got a huge much more to say about Kasai, but I do presume that they are going to try to raise more funds, because 4 million is not enough long term. Okay, where we go next? Okay, let's see this ADF. Facilities by ADF. And some valuation metrics on it as well. So this is the company that provides trailers to film studios, so somewhere for actors to rest during a shoot, and probably maybe to sleep. I did review their vehicles just out of curiosity, and they were very, very high end, some of them, and I'm sure they're very expensive. So anyway, these shares are up 4.6% to 51p, market cap £41 million, full year results here. And we've got continued progress in revenue. We've got slightly lower EBITDA, and we've got a small profit before tax. So this is one of the companies that was badly affected by the double strike in Hollywood. Let's go to the outlook. Following the end of the strikes in November 23 and the continued growth in demand for ADF's services, the company expects the financial performance of H1 FY24 to be significantly ahead of H2 2023. A little bit more about the strikes, but they expect the situation will continue to normalize as the first half of the year progresses, before returning to a full second half more in line with pre-strike levels. I'm definitely interested in this company. It's an interesting little niche that they do. I don't know if their financial performance will ever be sort of spectacular. You know, if you look at the pre-COVID financial performance, they were doing okay. They're much bigger now. And I have an open mind on this one. Who was asking about them earlier? Was it Lemon Physical was asking about them? Yeah, I have an open mind on Facilities by IDF. I don't think they have enough of a track record to really be able to say what they're going to do long term. I mean, you can never predict the future from the past, but sometimes you've got a more stable track record, which we don't have in this case, partly because of COVID, partly because of the strikes, and partly because it's just a young company. So, we'll have to. I'm open minded, and I'll wait and see. In terms of the forecasts, it looks like they're estimated to do net income of £7.5 million this year on revenues of £47 million. So with a market cap of 40, that could be considered good value, could be considered that they're on a low earnings multiple. Looks like they're on a single digit earnings multiple, about 8x. L. Saint says, you have to take into account ADF was severely affected by the writer's strike. Further down, they have a breakdown by H1, H2. The strikes started in May. So yeah, absolutely. I totally accept that. Forces beyond their control. They couldn't do anything about that. And probably it won't happen again. I mean, as far as I understand it, there hasn't been a writer's strike like that for decades. And there may not be another strike like that for decades from now on. So just one of those very rare, difficult events in the entertainment business. I have a totally open mind on this one. I think it could turn out very well. And the earnings multiple is currently cheap. So, could definitely be worth a look. So that's Facilities by ADF. Thank you for bringing it up in the live chat. And we'll see how it works out. So that's Facilities by ADF. Oh, my notes from this morning. I think we have covered everything. Yep, we have covered everything that I intended to look at and a little bit more. So, thanks very much for joining me. Appreciate all the comments and the insights that you give me as well. And have a great weekend. Please smash the like button. It helps us out very much. And feel free to share this with your investing friends. And I will see you next week. And so have a great weekend, everybody. I hope this was fun and interesting. And see you next time. So here we go. Bye, everyone.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.